Some people have asked me to give over just the, last week we spoke about more of the depth of the nyanim of the seder. We just scratched the surface, mamish. But some people wanted to know just, you know, how things are done. And as I mentioned last year, last week, I haven't been to too many sdarim, to too many other people's sdarim, just by my parents and by my in-laws. So I will give over mainly what I've seen by my father's zangazint. And definitely try to go into some of the inyanim. Matzahs. So, the minhag in our family is that we only use shmurah hand matzahs for the entire Pesach. My ancestor, the Sanzer Rav, held that machine matzahs, he writes that machine matzahs are chometz gomer. As a result, although he writes that he doesn't give a reason for it, he writes mitama kamus imodi. I have my reasons for it. He had my secret reasons that he holds that it's chometz gomer. But that is how our family has. That's the minhag we've adopted as a result, and we only eat shmura hand matzahs the entire Pesach. My father tells a story that his father, as a bocher, had a rebbe, a malamed that used to learn with him back in Russia, and this malamed was of the it came from whether he was wasn't a chassid or he was. There were tremendous gedolim that held the machine matzahs were lechatchila. So this malamed of his happened to be the mashgiach by a machine matzah bakery, and he once said to my grandfather, while he was learning with him, that I know that your zayda holds that the machine matzahs are chometz gomer, but I got to tell you, I'm a mashgiach at a machine matzah bakery. And they're much, much more mahudr than the hand matzahs. Everything, everything goes, like a machine. It's mechanically, it's done. Nothing can go wrong. And he begged my grandfather to come and watch. So my grandfather went, and he was watching the whole procedure. And the part of the machine that used to come down when to make the holes on the matzah. There was like this thing that you could come down and make the holes on the matzah. My grandfather saw that a piece of dough got stuck to it. And my grandfather watched, and that piece of dough was there. And he watched it for 18 minutes straight, and that piece of dough didn't move. And he watched it for much longer than that, too. And afterwards, he called over the mashgiach and said, "Just want you to know, I've been watching that piece of dough has been there for a lot longer than 18 minutes." So his malama told him, "I promise you, such a thing never happens. It's only because I said something against your zayda that's my oinish, that's my punishment." My father used to appoint on Erev Yontif. He appointed one of his children or grandchildren over bar mitzvah after he taught them what to look for on the matzah. They should look through all the matzahs and make sure there are no kfulis or nefuchas. The matzah bakery is supposed to do this, but they don't, or they don't do it well enough. So the halacha is that if there's a matzah that's matzah is bent over, you're not allowed to eat that matzah on Pesach. You have to break it off. So we don't want to find that at the Seder. So there's you would have one of the one of the kids or grandkids look through the agadol, look through the matzahs, make sure that they're all no kfulas, which is when they're bent over, or nefuchas, is when they're blow, there's a bubble. There's a bubble. You have to break it off also. So that we took care of on Erev Pesach. The lettuce for the chametz, for the maror, lettuce for the maror. So in the early days, there was someone or a couple people that checked every leaf to make sure that there are no, there's nothing crawling on it, no bugs, no worms. My father used to emphasize before he gave over the job to anyone, you should know that there's seven loisases for every single bug that anybody eats, and be careful to make sure to check it well. Nowadays, that since the lettuce that comes out, the bug-free lettuce, we order that, and we have nothing to worry about, Baruch Hashem. I remember one year, during the Seder, it came time for Mora, and my father asked who checked it, and they told him that they had appointed two of the children to check, 11-year-olds, to check them. Since my father said that since they are not bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, they could not rely on them. We had a break in the Seder it was a long break. And we had to go out and check all the lettuce to make sure that it was bug-free. So it's a serious business. So if you're using romaine lettuce, make sure either to use the romaine lettuce that comes pre-washed, pre-checked with the hashgacha, or make sure that whoever's checking knows what they're looking for. The minhag by us is that every male attendant of the Seder has their own kara with three matzahs. So anybody over bar mitzvah, any male over bar mitzvah has a full kara with the zroya and the bay and the whole thing, and three matzahs underneath it, so that each person can participate in the every aspect of the Seder. The yachatz and hiding afikoymen by moitzi matzah to eat from the top and the middle, and by karech to eat from the bottom, each person should be able to fulfill all the different aspects, that every male should be able to perform every aspect of the Seder. I know that most people do not do that. Only the Baal HaBayis has a kara, and only the Baal HaBayis has the three matzahs. Just telling you what the minig is by us. The way we set up the kara is the way the Arizal says to do it, and that is the zroya on the top right, the beya on the top left, the lettuce in the middle, karpas on the right, bottom right, the charesis on the bottom left, and the chazeres underneath, in the middle, underneath that. Dalet koises, the four koises, mitzvah min amuvchar is to use red wine that is not mavushal. However, somebody who is not able to tolerate wine can use grape juice. And then if somebody has at their Seder people that are not Shomer Shabbos or non-Jews, it is better not to use non-Mevushal wine, because as soon as the non-Jew touches the non-Mevushal wine, it becomes Yain Nesach. And even if the Baal HaBayis pours for everyone, if you pour for the non-Jew, you're being machshel the non-Jew with drinking Yain Nesach. Because as soon as he touches the wine that he's drinking, he is drinking Yain Nesach. So if you have non-Jews at your Seder, it's better not to use non-Mevushal wine. Better to use Mevushal wine. Now, the shear of the kais is, according to the Chazon Ish, is 5 ounces. What? 5.1, whatever. The shear of Chaim Noah is about 3.5 ounces. The kais my father has, which he has from his Zayda, whether he has from his father, which his father has from his father, and his father has from his father, and his father has from his father, it's the same kais for the 4 generations, does not have the Chazon Ish shear. So apparently, very big tzaddikim were not makbid on the Chazon Ish shear. It does have the 3.5 ounces. There is a shear smaller than that as well, which is 2.5 ounces. Shein Evarov held the shear as 2.5 ounces. So if someone is, somebody is a chayla, somebody who's sick, or somebody who mamish cannot tolerate wine, they can be mekel to with the smallest shear of 2.5 ounces. The chatchila one is supposed to drink by every kais. One is supposed to drink the entire kais, not majority, the entire kais. And b'diavad, the majority of the kais is enough. Both men and women are obligated in the 4 kaises, and so also ketanim that are higia lechinuch. Ketana that reached the age of chinuch, which is, you know, depending on each child according to their level of intelligence. Usually it's about 8, some kids 6, some kids 7, some kids a little bit older. But they should have the shear in their kais of the shear for dalet kaises. The minhag is that since we're supposed to, during the Seder, we're supposed to conduct ourselves derech malchus, is that by the dalet kaisis, that you don't fill up your own kais, you have somebody else, everybody fills up each other's kais. We're serving each other. What? Derech cheres, derech malchus. The kaises that we use on Pesach should either be kaises that are Pesach dige kaises, they're only used for Pesach, or if not, they should be kashered before Pesach, since they're used all year round on a chametz dige table, constantly used with chametz, they should be kashered with hagola, with boiling hot water. Heseva. The minig by I know there are people that have a minig that women also recline. Minig by us is only the men recline and not the women. The kittel is worn by all men, even the first year after marriage. Last week we spoke about a couple of reasons why the kittel is worn. Another reason dawned on me this today while I was preparing the shiur. Another reason for the kittel. There's a bina le'itim. The bina le'itim says on the pasuk in the end of Parshas Vayigash. It says, "V'nei Yisrael poru v'yishetzu v'yirbu v'yatzmo b'moid ma'oid v'atimalei ha'arat oisam." The pasuk says, "V'nei Yisrael were fruitful and they multiplied and they became stronger. V'yatzmo b'moid ma'oid, they became very, very strong. V'atimalei ha'arat oisam, the land was filled with them." The Bina Le'itim says, the way he explains this pasuk is the following. He asks, why is it that servitude was decreed upon the people, the Klal Yisrael that were in Mitzrayim at the time? We obviously, this was already decreed by the Bris Ben Absarim when Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu, but nevertheless, people don't suffer for the sins of their fathers. So it has to be that Bnei Yisrael at that time had their own reasons why they should be enslaved. And he explains, and I think that this is very important for us to know. It's Negea in our times as well. The Bnei Yisrael says that Bnei Yisrael became very engrossed in Gashmis. They became very, very consumed with materialism. They started doing business in Egypt and becoming very successful. And he says that vayatzmu b'ma'oid, the word ma'oid, Chazal say on the word in the Kriya Shema, b'chol ma'oidecha, Chazal say it means b'chol ma'oidecha, with all your money. So vayatzmu b'ma'oid ma'oid means they became very great with money. Get very involved in money. Vatimole haaretz oisam, he explains, doesn't mean that the land became filled with them. He said they became filled with the land. That's how he explains the words. Vatimole haaretz oisam, the land filled them. The artsiest, the earthliness filled them. Klal Yisrael became very earthly. He says when people enslave themselves to Gashmias, the midah keneged midah for that is that they become enslaved to, since they enslaved themselves to the Artzias, they became enslaved to the land. That was the measure for measure. Now we know that Ramban says in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, Kedoshim to you, Pasuk says, you shall be holy. Says the Ramban, what does that mean? That we're supposed to sanctify ourselves in areas that are permissible to us. Meaning that even though something's permissible, doesn't mean that we're supposed to indulge. Indulging in investing ourselves and deepening ourselves into Gashmias is, the Ramban calls, is called a novel b'shus ha-Torah. It's somebody who becomes disgusting with the permission of the Torah. It's mutter. Why shouldn't I do it? I won't go into any examples, but you all know what I mean. There's just by the fact that it's mutter doesn't mean that it is something that we should be participating in. Ramban calls that somebody who just takes advantage of everything that's mutter, he calls a novel versus hotayra. Last week's Parsha Tazria, we learned all about Taras. And then the pasuk says that if kuloi hafach lavan toherhu, if the entire person's body is transformed to white, then the person is toher. And the Chasam Sofer says that what does it mean kuloi hafach lavan? Hafach means it turned over into lavan. I mean, what's the opposite of lavan? What was it before? So it's not the opposite. Kuloi, it became lavan. What do you mean? Nia lavan. Hafach lavan. So some sofer says the opposite of the word lavan, if you turn it around, it's novel. And when a person transforms novel into lavan, then he's tahar. If he takes instead of being a novel, b'shus ha-toyren, the person... becomes a kadosh atzmai b'mutaloi. He sanctifies himself in areas that are permissible for him. That's the opposite of avdus. It's the opposite of servitude. Instead of enslaving oneself to the taivis of this world, the person puts himself in control. And these are things that I partake in. These are things I don't. That's chirus. On Pesach night, we're celebrating chirus. The novel is slavery. The opposite of novel, lavan, is cheres. So we put on kulay hafach lavan. We put on a kittel to transform ourselves totally into lavan, totally into white. That's a siman of cheres. So now comes Kadesh. So we're supposed to involve the children in the Seder. So usually we ask a child, tell me what is Kadesh. And the child shows off what he learned in Cheder. What Kadesh is. And then, so once again, I'm not sure what is done in other Jewish homes, but our minhag is that everyone, men and women, lift their kais that has been filled by someone else. Every men and women lift their kais, and everyone says Kiddush together. Meaning the Baal HaBayis says it out loud, and everyone says it along quietly. And that's why you don't answer Amen. Since you're saying the bracha along with the Baal HaBayis, you don't answer Amen. Now, important to know that the women that already said Shachianu by candlelighting are not supposed to repeat Shachianu again by Kiddush. So even though the Baal HaBayis is saying Shachianu and they've been saying everything along with the Baal HaBayis, they should not say Shachianu along with the Baal HaBayis. Nevertheless, they should not answer Amen on that bracha, because it's a hefsik. They're in the middle of Kiddush. The women are in the middle of Kiddush, and therefore they should not, and they made it by Priya Gofen already, they should not answer Amen on the Shachianu of the Baal HaBayis. If they did answer Amen, it's Nishke Feilach. There are opinions that they should answer Amen.
Should they be drinking while the Baal HaBayis says Shachianu?
No. No, they should wait until after he says Shachian. Now, this is all obviously for somebody who's able to, who knows Hebrew and is able to say along Kiddush. Many times we have people at the Seder that can't pronounce the words in Hebrew. Then it's just better they should listen and they should answer Amen like they would do any other Kiddush. This year, Pesach is the first Seder is Friday night. Nevertheless, the minhag is not to say Shalom Aleichem. And the reason that we spoke about last week, the reason is because every Friday night, the Malachim accompany us home. And so we say Shalom Aleichem to the Malachim. On Pesach night, the Shechinah is by the Shechinah himself is by every Seder, and we are not in need of the angels accompanying us, so we don't say Shalom Aleichem. There are places that do say Shalom Aleichem anyway, so everybody obviously should do as their minhag is. The second night of Pesach this year is Matzah Shabbos. So we have to do Yak Nehoz, which basically means you have to say Havdalah by Kiddush. So after you say Bayer Priya Gofen and the Kiddush, then you do, there's Bayer Meroesh. Now everybody is saying Kiddush together. So by Bayer Meroesh, what you do is, you're supposed to tip, if you have candles, you're supposed to tip over one candle to the other, so that the flames touch, not the candle. The candles are not supposed to touch, only the flames. If the candles, there's problems if the candles touch. So just make sure the flames touch. It's not ma'akiv. If you can't move the candles, let's say if you use a neironim, then you can't move the candles. Just you can make Bayer Meroesh on just a single candle as well. It doesn't have to be It doesn't have to be 2 weeks. But so if you can, you bend over one candle to the other so that the flames touch, you make a bar mitzvah. Now, the api halacha, women are not supposed to say the bracha of bar mitzvah. They should be yotze. They should answer amen on the bracha of bar mitzvah and look at their nails in the flame. The minig by many chassidim is that every Matzah Shabbos, the women make their own brachas. If they do it every Matzah Shabbos, the Pesach is no different. They can say Bari Mari Eish as well. Urachatz. If anybody has any questions, please feel free to ask. If I'm skipping anything. Here in Shul, yeah. So the minig is not only Yoichul and not Mogen Avos. So Urachatz. So we once again we engage the children and we ask the child Urachatz and Karpas at the same time because after we wash we're supposed to eat the Karpas right away without talking too much in between. So we asked the child, what is Urachatz, what is Karpas? Now, there are many people that there were many places where the minig is that only the Baal HaBayis washes by Urachatz. Our minig is that everyone washes by Urachatz, men and women. And obviously, we wash without a bracha and Netilas Yadayim. Karpas. In my father's home, my father uses either a cucumber, a tomato, or a radish for a karpas. We eat less than a kezias. The minhag in many places is to use a potato, and it's well known that in Ropshitz. The Rav Shitz Rav held that the bracha on potatoes is a shahakal, not a boy pri adoma. Not sure why, but that is what he held. The bracha on potatoes is a shahakal. However, on Pesach night, he made a boy pri adoma on a potato. And when one of his grandchildren tried to ask the fifth kasha, and asked why is this night different than any other night, that every night of the year we make a shahakal on potatoes, and tonight we make a bar priyadama, that did not go over well. Yachatz. So yachatz. Now, please pardon my ignorance. I have no idea what other people do. So just yachatz. Everyone who had a kara did yachatz, broke their matz in two. And my father then appoints a certain person at the Seder, usually one of the guests, to hide his avikayim. And then he would make an announcement that the children are not allowed to look for the Afikoman until Shulchan Aruch. Until Shulchan Aruch, they're not allowed to look for the Afikoman. This is, you know, the whole purpose of hiding the Afikoman, Chazal tell us, is to keep the children awake. So if you're gonna and involved in the Seder. If they're gonna go start looking for the Afikoman right away and not be involved in the Seder, then we haven't accomplished anything. So he makes an announcement they're not allowed to look for the Afikoman until Shulchan Aruch. That keeps the children waiting for Shulchan Aruch, awake and waiting for Shulchan Aruch. So and then we had everyone else at the Seder also hid their Afikoman, and when time came for Shulchan Aruch, the children were all over the place and are all over the place. Looking for looking for people's afikaimens. And then, obviously, you don't give back the afikaimen to the person who belongs to until the person promises you whatever you want. That's how it works. Yeah. Now it is important at the same time to teach children not to be unreasonable and to that was Yahweh Magid. Magid. So now, by Magid, our minhag is to say, we start Magid by saying the Zohar. There's a shtickle in the Zohar that is printed in most Haggadahs. We say that right before Magid. And that piece of the Zohar explains what a tremendous simcha that Rabbeinu Shlalem has when he sees Klal Yisrael saying over a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. He gathers together the entire Pamal Yishamala, all the angels, and he tells them, go watch how my children conduct a Seder, and how they're so joyous with the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Throughout Magid, my father, Zulzan Gezint, says over Divrei Torah, usually his own Divrei Torah, his own Ha'aras on the Haggadah. And usually Magid takes pretty long. The first night, my father tries to make the Afikomen before Chatzos. And he's pretty, usually he was successful. I'm usually not that successful. And there's, just to jump ahead a little bit, there's the famous Tanai of the Avnei Nezer, that this is what I think most Hasidim rely on when it comes to eating the Afikomen after Chatzos. Usually, halacha is you need to eat Afikomen before Chatzos. So, if you want to go, we'll go into the Lumdas here for a few, just for a few seconds. What the Avnei Nezer says. There are two opinions until when the Korban Pesach can be eaten. Right? One opinion is until Chatzos. The other opinion is until the Alois HaShachar. Corresponding to that, we have the Achilas Afikomen. Nowadays, unfortunately, we don't have the Korban Pesach, we have the Afikomen. So according to the opinion, you only eat the Korban Pesach until Chatzos, so you can only eat the Afikomen until Chatzos. According to the opinion, You can eat the Korban Pesach until Alois. You can eat the Afikomen until Alois. Now, the halacha is you can't eat or drink anything besides water after you eat the Afikomen. However, you're only not allowed to eat until the zman that you're allowed to eat the Afikomen. Meaning, according to our opinion, that you have to eat the Afikomen until Chatzos. Then the Isser of eating after the Afikomen only applies till Chatzos. After Chatzos, you can eat, because it's no longer a time, it's no longer the Zman of Achilas Afikomen. You can eat after Chatzos, according to that opinion. But if you're allowed to eat the Afikomen until the Alois, then you're not allowed to eat until the Alois. So, usually, we're machmer on both ends. We're machmer to eat the Afikomen until Chatzos. But just in case you're allowed to eat the Afikomen until Alois, we don't eat anything after the Afikomen until Alois. That's the minhag of Klal Yisrael. Says the Avnei Nezer, but I have a pasha to Tanai you can make. Make a Tanai like this. When you eat your first kezayis of matzah, when you're moitzi matzah, when you eat your first kezayis of matzah, that make sure to do before Chatzos. Right, the first kezayis of matzah, make sure to do before Chatzos. And a person can also have in mind that their kezayis matzah is also lafikomen. You can do two things at once. your matzah can be that you can be the afikomen. So have in mind that your matzah that you're eating now, that by moitzi matzah, is also the afikomen. That only if the halacha is that afikomen has to be eaten before chatzos. Then I'm yotze now the afikomen, and I'm not going to eat anything. I'm not going to eat anything before chatzos, after the matzah. Besides maror, which I guess is allowed. We're not going to have shulchan aruch. We're not going to have shulchan aruch before chatzos. Shulchan aruch is going to be after chatzos. So if this is the afikomen, then I'm yoytze the afikomen before chatzos, and I'm not eating anything after the afikomen until chatzos. And if the halacha is like the opinion that that afikomen is I'm allowed to eat until alois, so my afikomen will be later, and then I'm allowed to eat until the afikomen. That's what Avnei Zeh says. This is what Chassidim rely on. Nevertheless. My father's lasagna gezint is machmer to try to eat avikomen the first night before chatzos. The second night he's not machmer at all, and ends up eating it much later. So the magid takes longer on the second night than the first night, because he's the first night he's hurrying along a little bit, so that the avikomen can be eaten before chatzos. My father invites everyone that's at the Seder to give over Divrei Torah or to ask questions, adults and children, and sometimes it develops into a conversation, which is usually very interesting, unless the clock is ticking, and then he'll say, we'll discuss it by Shulchan Aruch, and usually by Shulchan Aruch people forgot about it. Now, it's a very important, we spoke about last week, how important it is to engage the children. And children don't mean necessarily children. It means one's children. It could be 50 years old. You could have a child that's 50 years old or older that's also a child. And there is a tremendous segula that the words we tell our children on Pesach night enter their hearts. And it's a night to give over emuna and bitochen, which that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about, into the hearts of our children. There are people that have a minig to act out the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, to actualize it and to make it real. My father-in-law, after Yachatz, he puts the avikomen into a bag, and he throws it over his shoulder, and he walks around, as if he's holding a pile of bricks, and he says, "This is what slavery in Mitzrayim was. We had to work very hard." It creates an image in the minds of the children as to what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. Now, and everybody. You know, everybody knows their children. I have to tell you, though, that I'm pretty sure that the way my father conducted the Seder, is the way his father conducted the Seder, and that's the same way his father conducted the Seder. L'mala b'kodesh. There were no deviations with puppets and all kinds of different toys and whatever. I'm just saying, you know, everybody has their own Masoira, but I think part of what we're trying to give over to our children is the Masoira that we have from our avos, and when we deviate too much, we might be forfeiting that aspect of giving over the tradition from our forefathers to our children. The what?
Sometimes you have to make the daughter go and not the old one.
How do you do that?
A little frog. Can't say it that way.
Yeah. It's part of the Masara too. To make the daughter-in-laws happy. If you look into the Agoda, first of all, before that, by Holach Ma'anya, you're supposed to take that middle matzah, the little piece that's left in your kara, and hold on to it and say, Holach Ma'anya, the Acholah of Asana be out of the Mitzrayim. This is the poor bread that our always ate in Mitzrayim. After Holach Ma'anya is when the second cup is filled, the second kois is filled, also by another person. And in the Haggadah it says, Moizgin kois sheni, you pour the second kois, v'kan haben shoyel, and here the son asks. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim all say, Mamish Kulam with Signa Nacha, they all say the same Mahalach, that at this point in the Seder is a time that every Yid can ask the Rabbeinu Shlom for whatever they want. Kan haben shoyel. Here is the time that a child, and we're all bonim to the Rabbeinu Shlom, here is the point that we're supposed to ask the Rabbeinu Shlom whatever we want. The Shechina is present at every Yid Seder, and it's a tremendous Eis Rotzen. Yeah. With what? We don't say anything with our mouths. It's all machshav. Machshav. Yeah. What? Shabbos also? Yeah. So that's why, this is why the minhag is that even after the children say the manashtana, we repeat it again. The manishtana halayla azem akal aleilois, and the svarim say that halayla azem means this golus. Why is this golus different than all the other golus? That this golus is taking so long. And that's the ikar bakasha that we're supposed to ask of the Rebbeinu Shlom is to take us out of golus. Next week we'll hopefully conclude the rest of the Seder.